I'm so excited for 2025. I'm so excited to see what the Lord will do this year. I'm optimistic that we will see God's hand moving among us. I'm optimistic that we will experience the presence of the Holy Spirit this year in a mighty way. I'm optimistic that we'll see our neighbors come to Jesus and receive salvation and healing. I'm optimistic that we will see God's will be done among us on earth as it is in heaven. Do you share these optimistic thoughts? I hope you do. But in order for that to happen, we must be a praying church. And today, I want to talk about the Lord's house being a house of prayer. Last week, we looked at love. And above all else, we must remain rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. That is actually one of our church values. We at 1920 Church are people who are rooted in the love of Christ. And we're to obey His commandments to love our Heavenly Father and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Despite our flaws, our differences, our shortcomings, our quirkiness, we're to love one another as Christ loved us. And how did Christ love the church? He loved the church despite its weaknesses, its faults, its shortcomings. The Bible says that the greatest act of love is for someone to surrender their life for a friend, right? To give their life. And that's what Christ did. But Christ even surrendered for his life for all those people who are hostile, enemies of him. The Bible says that while we are still sinners, he gave his life for us. And we ought to love one another in this way. So we must be united, rooted in the love of Christ. Greatest is love. We can't lose that as a church. Amen? So today I want to look at how we have to be a praying church that is integral to it. I've been listening to a podcast called The Calling by Pastor Jim Cimbala. Have you ever heard of Jim Cimbala? He's a pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And at a time, his congregation was pretty small, and he told his congregation these words. He said, "If they called upon the Lord, he had promised in his word to answer, to bring the unsaved to himself and to pour out his spirit among them. If they did not call upon the Lord, he had promised them nothing." What a powerful premise behind the practice of prayer. If we pray, God's power will be manifested in and through our life, in our ministry. But if we do not pray, it will not happen. This is not because God cannot act if we do not pray. Rather, is that God will act through another if we don't pray. We may be the most Bible-believing preaching church. We may be the most inspirational in our music and worship, but without prayer, we have no power. Pastor Cimbala also said to his congregation, "No matter what I preach or what we claim to believe in our heads, the future will depend upon our times in prayer. Prayer will be the engine that drives the church." In other words, if we do not have prayer life as a church, we have no fuel to accomplish the task that God has called us to. Here are some quotes about prayer from various writings. "The condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a grace-o-meter? And from it we may judge the amount of divine working among a people. If God be near a church, it must pray. And if he be not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be a slothfulness in prayer. The church, therefore, is behooved to pray. The most important lesson the church can learn is not only how to pray, but to pray." To pray. What is the purpose of the house of God? Why did God give the tabernacle to be built? Why did God allow Solomon to build him a temple? God answers the question for us in his wonderful word, which we find in Exodus. Exodus 29, 42, 43 says, "For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. Therefore, I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory." You see, the tabernacle was a place where God would meet with his people. God said the tabernacle was a place where he'd meet his people to speak with them. Yes, there was other things, important things happening there. But what is more important than meeting with God and speaking with him and hearing from him? How do we speak with or communicate with God? We communicate with God through prayer. Thus, the tabernacle was a place of prayer. And so it was with the house of the Lord, the temple built by Solomon. And Jesus confirms this for us when he cleansed the temple of the money changers as he ran the changers, the merchants out. He said in Matthew 21, 13, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The first half of this verse, Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah, speaking of those strangers or the foreigners to Israel who would join themselves to the Lord. It says in Isaiah 56, 7, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Amen. Clearly we see from Scripture that the purpose of the house of God is to be a place of communication between God and mankind, his people. And this is accomplished primarily through prayer. As it was then, so it is now when we meet for God to commune with him in his presence, both individually and corporately together as his church. So the question is, how are we doing in fulfilling God's purpose today in his house? As we look at the vast Christian culture in the West, I believe we all too often have missed the boat on the purpose of God's house. I believe we are much like the money changers of Jesus' day. Jesus, as he ran them out of the house of God, he was flipping tables. He even says he made a whip out of cords. And he told them that he had made his father's house into a den of robbers because of their robbing of the people who came to convert their money to purchase sacrifices for the altars. Today we could liken that to something as extreme as selling bread and wine or juice for the sacrament of Holy Communion at high prices. That'd be pretty brutal, wouldn't it? They had turned the Lord's house into something other than what it's intended to be. Now, we may not have turned the house of the Lord into a den of thieves or robbers, so to say. Could be in other forms. But many of us have turned into something that it was not intended to be. Today, many houses of worship are nothing more than a production house for modern religious entertainment. Many churches today are nothing more than social meeting places where men, women, boys, and girls come to socialize and have a good time. Many of today's churches have become this kind of fast food restaurant of religion, consumer markets, where we come and get our weekly spiritual fix without disrupting the important events of our life. Rather than meeting God at his house today, we too easily go through empty rituals and motions and call it worship. When God looks down at the church today, he must surely say at times, as it was written in Matthew 15, 8, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Where is your heart? today. Your prayer life is a good temperature gauge on how far or close you are to God. If you hardly ever pray throughout your everyday life, it is safe to say you are far from God. However, if you pray to the Lord most every day, this is a sure sign you are near to Him and desire to be near to Him. Whatever the church is today, it is for the most part not where it should be. We clap, we dance, well, maybe not so much in this church. We perform and worship, but we should never neglect one of the most important elements of our coming together, prayer. Prayer. One of the leading problems of the house of God, the church today, is that we do not pray enough. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So what must we do? What is the prescription for the lack of prayer in the house of God? It's very simple, guys. In a word, it is prayer. No trick questions here. It's just prayer. If we want to see the power of the Holy Spirit fall in our lives and in our church, we must become a people of prayer, and we must make God's house a house of prayer. The prophet Hosea said in Hosea 10:12, "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers His righteousness on you." I love that. I'm going to read that again. Listen to this, guys. "Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers His righteousness on you." It is time for the people of God to fall on their knees before God and seek His face. We must learn the heart of Moses, who asked God to let him see His glory. Do you want to see the glory of God? We must long for God, just as the deer pants for the water brook. Do you thirst for more of Him? If we want to see the lost saved, the sick healed, the hungry fed, the world changed, then we must get on our knees and pray. Isn't that what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Guys, this is what Canada needs. This is what Canada needs. For God's people to humble themselves, to pray, to seek His face, and to turn from their wicked ways. And God will hear from heaven, forgive us, and heal our land. The power of God is unleashed when the people of God humble themselves and pray. If you want to see your neighbors or your neighborhood changed, then pray. If you want to see the lost saved, then pray. If you want to see your family transformed, your children, your youth come to God, to Christ, then pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray every day. Pray when we gather. The single most important activity we as believers can do to effect change in this world is to live in prayer. Is to pray. Live lives of prayer. When we pray, God hears and He promises to respond. That's the promise to God's people. When we pray, God will act. Don't get me wrong, He can act whether we pray or not. But when we pray, He has promised to respond to this sincere, fervent prayer of faith. I want to share some of these promises with you from God's Word. Three of them. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if From there you seek the Lord your God. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Matthew 21 to 22 says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." And Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Amen. God has promised that the fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman will accomplish much. If we pray, God's power will fall upon our situation. Countless times in God's word, we can find examples of the power of prayer manifested in the life of those who pray, of those who call on God. If we long for the power of God, we must learn to pray to God and to ask for it. Recently, my daughter Nea said, "You gotta preach on Elijah and when the fire came down from heaven." So here we go. This is for Nea. I'm just going to summarize it from 1 Kings 1:18. Elijah, the prophet. You guys heard of Elijah, right? It was a time of King Ahab and Jezebel, the queen. And she was causing havoc in the kingdom of Israel. She was killing the prophets of God. She was bringing in the worship of Baal. She was bringing in such sexual immorality that the kingdom had never seen before. And the palace administrator Obadiah, actually he hid 100 of the prophets of the Lord in caves so they would not be slain by Jezebel. And Elijah hears from the Lord, and God tells him, "Go to King Ahab and tell him the rain is coming. There was a drought going on." So he goes to find Ahab. And Ahab says, "Elijah, you have brought this problems on Israel." And Elijah says to him, "No, I have not. You have, King Ahab. You have led the people away from the living Lord." And he told him, "Gather the people of the Lord together at the altars. Everybody get there." And so this happens, and all the prophets of Baal come there as well. And Elijah says, "We're going to have a competition." Now I'm paraphrasing here. "We're going to have two sacrifices prepared on two altars. And we're going to call upon the name of our God to bring fire and consume these sacrifices. But we are not going to make fire. We're going to call on our gods to do that. And whichever God does this is a true God that we will worship." He says, "Okay, prophets of Baal, you guys go first." And there's lots of these guys. I think this Bible says up to 450 of these guys. I don't know if they're all there doing stuff. But so they prepare their altar and they start to dance and call upon Baal to you know, consume this sacrifice. And nothing happens. And Elijah begins to laugh and taunt them. Say, "Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's actually in the restroom relieving himself." He actually says this. You know, maybe he's sleeping. So they get frenzied up, these prophets of Baal, and they start to cut themselves and go into a frenzy, and nothing happens. And they tire out. And Elijah goes, "All right, now it's my turn." So he prepares the altar, the wood, puts a calf on there, the bull, and he says, "Fill 4 jars with water and dump them on the altar." So they do this and they soak the altar. He says, "Do it again." So they do it again and totally soaking the altar and the sacrifice. And he says, "Do it again." And they do it one more time. It's so wet that there's like a trough around the altar that's just full of water. Everything's drenched. And then Elijah begins to pray, and listen to how he prays. 1 King 18. "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed." He prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." The Lord is like a consuming fire, guys. And we need to see the fire come down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit to consume us, living sacrifices. After this, the people obviously turned to worship God. And Elijah gathered all the prophets of Baal to the valley, and they were slaughtered and slain. And then the rains began. And this is a cool part of the story too. The rains began, and Elijah said to King Ahab, "Quickly get your chariot hitched up and get to, I think it was Jezreel, the city closest by, before the rains stop, because they're coming hard." And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Elijah, and he tucks in his belt into his robe, and he actually runs before the chariot of Ahab in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just so cool. But God's power is mighty, and he's a consuming fire. And that is the power of the house of the Lord. When we learn to pray and continue to press on with prayer, we will once again sense the power of God being manifested in our lives. As the psalmist says, Psalm 105:4, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." Always. When we seek the Lord, we will find his strength. So if you're feeling spiritual weak, then pray. If you're spiritually hungry, dry, then pray. If you are tired of being complacent in your walk with the Lord, then pray. Pray. If you and I will earnestly and fervently seek the Lord with all our soul, our mind, our strength, God will manifest himself in ways we have never dreamed of before. How do I know he will? I know he will because he said he would. Through the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said in 33:3 of Jeremiah, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." God has not only promised to hear us when we pray, but he has promised to show us things we have never seen before when we pray. When we pray, God will do wonderful and marvelous things, just as he did in the days of the early church. These passages, verses from the book of Acts, illustrates the power of God as it is unleashed through the lives of a praying church. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Guys, I want to see this church like this. Let's make these the scriptures of this year, 2025, these verses that we repeat and read and pray and hope for and ask God for. Sound good? Let's read again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to pray. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Lord, we pray that this would be so in your house today. You are an awesome God, and we need you, Jesus. There is no other name like you, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You are mighty and powerful. Hallelujah. When God's people commit themselves to prayer, God will unleash his power. When God unleashes his power, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's Ephesians 3:20-21. What God did for the early church, the first century church, he can do for the saints and the church today in the 21st century. Do you believe it? Amen. George Mueller, known for his orphanage in 19th century England, believed in the power of prayer. One day, with empty plates on the table in the orphanage, he prayed thanks for the meal he expected God to provide. Just then, a baker knocked on the door saying he felt led to bake extra bread for the children. Mueller's faith in God's surprising provision remind us that answered prayers often come in unexpected ways, even with a dash of humor. When we pray, when we ask, let's do so in faith. Expecting, waiting, knowing that God will provide at the right moment. I want to close with a powerful quote from Charles Spurgeon. All of hell is vanquished when the believer bows his knees in prayer. Beloved brethren, let us pray. We cannot all argue. We can all pray. We cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. We cannot all be mighty in rhetoric, but we can all be prevalent in prayer. I would rather have you eloquent before God than eloquent before men. Prayer brings us into communion with the eternal, omnipotent, and infinite. Hence, prayer is our chief resort. Make sure you are close to God, and you can be sure God is close to you. Amen. Can I ask you all to rise, and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, our Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all our praise and worship, for you are worthy. You are worthy. Jesus, how sweet the name of Jesus. There is no name like Jesus. And we praise your mighty name. We seek your face. We want to know you more. We want to see your glory. Lord, we want to see your fire come down from heaven. We want to see us consumed by your love, by your presence, by the Holy Spirit. We want to be like living sacrifices used by you for your purpose. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want to see miracles happen. We want to see the mighty works of your hands. We thirst for the living waters. We want to see salvation take place in the hearts of our neighbors, of our family members, of our children, of our youth, of our friends, in our neighborhood, in this city, in this country. So we come before you in prayer. Lord, make yourself known. Lord, we pray that in your grace and your mercy, you would call people to repentance, that this great nation of Canada would be transformed, that they will see your glory and know that you are God. So, Lord, raise up your church in power and in glory to do mighty works as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, add to this body of believers and help us to be like the early church, where we come before you and devote ourselves to your teaching in your word, that we devote ourselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, that we gather together with joyful hearts, filled with gratitude, that we come together in your temple and in our homes to give thanks and to be generous with one another, giving to meet each other's needs, showing our love for one another as you have taught us. And Lord, maybe we have favor amongst the people in our community, that we can preach about the love of Jesus and see people saved. But Lord, we need you. We need your strength. We need your power. We need your presence. We need you, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit's power to be your servants, to go about our Father's business. Teach us to pray. Give us strength to pray every day. Let your house, 1920 Church, be a house of prayer.